We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one right here, Alabama. Y'all, this show goes like way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville and Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi all thrown in just for good measure. And by the way, you hear the ads playing during the break? Let me just remind you guys, Right Side Radio, we are a standalone entity. We are a business unto ourselves. And it takes something like every other business. It takes something to run a business like this. And when you hear us on the radio, just know this. They don't own our show. We own our content, and we send it to them. And the part of the way we support what we do and how we, what we stand for is by selling ads. We are told that among all of our stations that we're on, AMs and FMs, that we have well over 30,000 listeners a week. And of those 30,000, you can imagine there's a chunk of them, a whole bunch of them, most of them are Right Side ruffians. And if you are a ruffian also with goods and services of your own, then guess what? You got a huge captive audience that may rather buy from you than some liberal. So, hey, why don't you join the Right Side team? Well, the way you advertise on Right Side is don't call the station, contact us directly. Go to our website, rightsideradio.org. That's rightsideradio.org. Click on advertising and contact. Send us a message. We'll get back to you ASAP. Lauren will be in touch immediately. I'm just saying, rightsideradio.org. Send us a message and advertise on Right Side Radio. All right, I'm going to switch gears here. That whole gambling bill, we're not done with that topic, by the way. That's going to come back up. Until this thing gets shot down by some legislators who grow a pair, this is going to wind up being a topic that we will revisit over and over again. So just know this. We're not letting that alone. And I'm going to encourage you, if you don't know who your legislator is, if you don't know, like, for instance, who your state senator or state rep is, don't be ashamed by that at all. A lot of folks don't. But I guarantee you someone in your sphere does. You ask almost any teacher, they'll tell you who the state rep is for their area because they see them coming to the school and giving out grants or whatever else. You ask any local official, if you know your city councilman, say, hey, who's the state senator right here? Who is that? How do I reach them? Listen, they're all accessible. I spent 8 years in the Alabama State Senate. I can just tell you, they're all accessible. They live and work among you. Some of y'all are going to know them personally because you go to church with them or you work with them or you see them at restaurants. I mean, they're just members of the community. And by the way, the legislature is a part-time job. Now, I've said before, Charlene and I used to jokingly call it my full-time, part-time job. But what I'm trying to say is they are not far removed from you. They're not off in D.C. somewhere. No, they're just... they live among you, and they drive to Montgomery once a year for a legislative session, and they come back to their other full-time job. All that to say, find out who they are and contact them. You can actually go, I believe, to the Alabama Secretary of State's website, and just there's a place on there that says find your legislator. Type in your zip code. It'll tell you who it is. So check that out, and then go ye therefore. Find your legislator and just tell them how you feel about this piece of legislation. If you support it, tell them that too. But here's the other thing. Don't contact them and go, I'll tell you, you better listen to me. I'll vote you out. I count. My vote count. Don't do that. That is so obtuse. That doesn't work. But I do encourage you, know the facts and then, you know, being readied with the facts, contact them and say, I just want to let you know I live in your district and this bill really bothers me, or I care about what it says on page 42 or whatever the case may be, and tell them how you feel. Those are the calls that made a difference for me. If I was already gray on an area, and believe it or not, some of them are gray on this bill right now. If I was gray, I needed those kind of calls. If it was a bill that I wasn't familiar with the topic, if it was a bill that dealt with something that I had never seen before, If it didn't really like touch on my core principles already, then I had to start fact finding. And the best fact finding was a constituent who understood the topic and could have a conversation about it. Anyway, there you go. I'll just leave it at that. Hey, I'm gonna jump into Dipper Numero Dos. Costs of mass migration. I tell you what, I'm gonna open with this piece that I pulled off of justthenews.com. Story came out over the weekend. Highest number of apprehensions in U.S. history at the southwest border in the first quarter of fiscal 2024. The first quarter of the year we're in, FY 2024, that'd be October, November, December. When you sum it up, it's the highest first quarter of apprehensions at our border in the history of the United States. Now, granted, we're also in the most epic of mass migration incidents, ongoing incidents that we've ever seen in the history of the United States, so it kind of stands to reason. But 785,422 were intercepted at the southern border alone in quarter one of the current fiscal year. Y'all, that's, do you know, by the way, that is bigger than three U.S. states? Wyoming, Vermont, and Alaska have populations of the whole state that are less than what came across that border in one quarter. One quarter. I mean, if you go ahead and assume there's four quarters in a year, right, which there are, if you maintain that level, you're talking about 785. Let's round it. You want to do that? Let's round it. Let's make it. I tell you what I'm going to do. I'll give the libs, I'll throw them a bone here. I'll round down. Let's call it 750,000 just for good numbers to work with. You know what that comes down to? 3 million in a year. That's what it would be. 3 million in a year. Says U.S. Department of Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas unilaterally changed the laws established by Congress to facilitate the greatest number of illegal crossings in U.S. history. Officials say they have no way of knowing who all is being let into our country. Here's some comparisons for you, by the way. 785,000 in our current fiscal year's first quarter. The year prior to that, 231,000. You see, we're almost three times. How about in quarter one of FY 22, 164,000? Okay. How about in Q1 of FY 21, 71,000? We are now over 10 times, 11 times actually, what came across in FY 21's first quarter. 785,000. Well, you know, we're starting to see things. We've talked about it on the show multiple times. Texas has taken its own personal steps. Operation Lone Star, they've increased their border security efforts trying to block illegal entries. Cartel activity, though, because of that, has now been pushed west into Democrat-led states like Arizona and California that are not trying as hard. So what are the costs of all this? What are we experiencing? What is happening to our nation right now in terms of criminal activity and what is happening with, you know, sanctuary cities, so-called? Well, let me just point out, first of all, right next door, Governor Brian Kemp, Republican from Georgia, he ripped President Joe Biden during an interview over this past weekend. And he said that he made his remarks on ABC News's Sunday morning shows about Republicans in Congress shooting down a controversial border bill. He said it was not a very productive week. But he also said, I think that what needs to be considered, where is it right here? I'm going to lose my place. They're trying to pass the buck and blame Republicans about the issue. It's a simple lack of leadership. Kemp said he spoke with Democrats in the Senate more than a year ago. He told them to secure the dang border. He said that's what people want. The governors are willing to help in those efforts. You see how successful it's been with Greg Abbott. He said, but look, we can't secure one state's border. We got to secure the whole southern border. And then he points out, oh yeah, Biden had a Democrat-controlled House and Senate for the first few years. And now they want to say, MAGA Republicans are stopping us from securing the border. You had everything. You had everything. You had the ability because you had the presidency, the House, and the Senate. And you just didn't get it done, did you? But now you get to blame Republicans? How's that work? It doesn't. It doesn't work at all. Story here on Fox News. Biden-era migrant crisis is blowing holes through the budgets of liberal sanctuary cities. By the way, this story came out in September of last year. Where are we now? As you just had, that was right before we started seeing Q1 numbers come through, October, November, December. It said Chicago, this is past last September, last September, Chicago announced that the Windy City is facing a $538 million budget deficit. A significant part of that is attributed to the ongoing migrant crisis. So, yeah, about NBC Chicago reported that at least $200 million of that stems from costs related to migrant care. $200 million. Chicago was known as a sanctuary city, meaning that it bars local and state law enforcement cooperation with federal immigration enforcement. That's just asinine. And by the way, Mayor Brandon Johnson, who, I mean, you look at it and go, how did you ever become a mayor? He's now screaming for more money. He needs help. Well, yeah. Well, you brought this on, dude. New York City, also a sanctuary city, has also faced significant financial issues. Last September, New York City Mayor Eric Adams warned that the crisis of over 110,000 migrants would destroy his city. That's his words, not mine. Destroy his city. He also warned about the financial impact of the crisis, claiming that New Yorkers need to know that it was going to have to cut services and could cost upwards of $12 billion by the year 2025. $12 billion by 2025. Y'all, this is unreal. Fox News reported in April of last year, the city of Denver expected to spend up to $20 million over a course of just 6 months, up to $1,000 per migrant per week. I'm sure it's past that now. It's just absolutely unreal what's happening.
What's the cause of the sudden uptick in the numbers?
I think it's a variety of things. It's like a feeding frenzy. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you look at blood in the water draws sharks, it'll draw two. The two realize something's going on, and basically there's then four realize, and then six, and the next thing you know, you've got this feeding frenzy, right? And they're just coming from miles around. I think we have some of that. I think there's also the fear that the border is going to get shut down in the near future, and so people are saying, "Well, then get it while you can."
Now's the time, yeah.
Yeah. And then on top of that, you've actually got, and this blows my mind, you've actually got NGOs, non-governmental aid organizations, so-called aid organizations, down in Mexico helping people get to the southern border and telling them what to say when they get here. And then on top of that, you've got the Biden administration is being seen as they won't do anything about it. And sanctuary cities are giving people free housing, meals, you know, cell phones, and medical care, and in some places giving them driver's licenses and letting them work, go to you know, get into schools and everything else. And it's just like, it's free stuff, man. Why not? I could live in a former luxury hotel in New York City, or I can still live in my poverty conditions down in Venezuela. It's a mess, though. Yeah. Hey, we got to go to a break, brother. Go ahead and take that to a break. Me and Big Rig, we'll be right back after this. I am in number two of the Triple Dipper, the costs of mass migration. Oh, boy. All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like making common sense like a superpower. So this section I'm doing right now, and I'd love to hear y'all's thoughts on this. Feel free to call in, text in. The number's 833-687-4448. Talking about the cost of mass migration. Let me see if I can find, Shane from Madison just sent me a link to a YouTube. Brother, I can't stop in the middle of a show and go look at a YouTube. You're welcome to tell me what it is, but I can't go check it out while I'm on the air. So anyway, text it or call it 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. Talk about the cost of mass migration. How about this story from FAIR UN? By the way, I forgot what FAIR stands for. It's an immigration reform organization. And the headline is, and this came out December 1st, so it's only about, 60 days old? A little over, 70? Sanctuary City, Chicago, sees an 11,000% increase in the arrests of Venezuelans since border crisis began. 11,000%. Good Lord. It says, a common argument by the open borders lobby is that there is no connection between illegal immigrants and crime. I'm here to tell you that's not true. Those people missed the first fundamental fact that illegal immigrants broke our American immigration law when they came to the country illegally. It also ignores the fact that any crime committed by an illegal alien is one that could have been avoided if our immigration laws were being enforced. Fair points. No pun intended, because it's from fairus.org. I just realized what I did. I'm just kind of making a joke and didn't even know it. I'm just so funny. I joke with myself and don't even know it. In the sanctuary city of Chicago, more than 21,000 primarily Venezuelan migrants have arrived since the summer of 22. The 21,000 consists of those who have crossed the border illegally and those whom the Biden administration has led into the interior of the United States through rampant and illegal abuse of the parole authority that the Biden administration uses. So the Venezuelan migrants in Chicago have shattered the narrative pushed by the open borders lobby about being no connection. According to police data, you ready for this? Obtained by one of the local affiliates there, CWB Chicago, there were just six arrests. Six. That's like a little over half of 10. Six arrests of Venezuelan-born people in the year 2021, 26 in 2022. And now, as of November 12th this year, Chicago PD has arrested 686. Okay. Representing an 11,330% increase. Yeah, it's significant. You went from 6 to 686 in a matter of 2 years. So when I say this dipper is called the costs of migration, I'm talking about not just the cost in dollar signs, although those are significant too. I'm talking about the cost to our society. I'm talking about the literal cost to us as a nation, to the destruction of culture, to the destruction of quality of life, to the destruction of you know, essential services. I am not heartless, by the way. I recognize that we have it good here that other folks don't necessarily have it, and I don't mind immigration at all. In fact, I am for legal immigration. I'm all for it. But don't try and tell me that what's happening is okay. I mean, if you were running a charitable organization, let's say you had a thing where you fed the poor. And by the way, there's an organization that Charlene and I used to volunteer with sometimes on Saturday mornings. And it was basically a place where folks could come and get food for their homes. And we would box these groceries and things up, and then the cars would drive up and they would wait in line, and we would give out boxes of food until we had no more. And sometimes they'd say, "Can I get two?" And we'd have to say, "Well, there's cars behind you, so we can't right now. We're gonna have to give you this one big box of groceries." And but it was good food. What if we just had that same organization set up and nobody wanted to wait in line, and they bum rushed and they grabbed one box, two boxes, three boxes, and ran out the door with it? Would you feel good about it? But it's a charitable organization. It's there to fund the people and help them out. Not like that, it's not. That's exactly what's happening on our southern border. It's gone from being this thing that, "We'd love to help you. Here's how we can help. Can you get in line, please? Orderly. Let's fill out the forms. Let's do the thing." Now, how about, "No, we don't want to do that. We're just going to bum rush you and take what we want." That's where we are right now. All right, I got a little more on this when we get back. Give me your calls. Give me your texts. 833-687-4448. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Sure.
That there go the bills, and what happens? The hospital passes off the cost to insurance, and it comes back to us, and also a lot of legitimate people who went through the system correctly. And also, it's a spreading point for a lot of diseases that have been subdued, if not eliminated, in the United States, because even Ellis Island had a quarantine period. Release them at the border and let people go without checking their health. That spreads a health problem even to your small care clinics and everything else as you come in contact with folks. And not their fault they got sick, But that's one of the reasons to have a controlled entry.
No, you're exactly right. And anybody who wants to try and sneak across at a non-entry point is literally just trying to avoid the systems, since that's all there is to it. There's no way around it. They're trying to avoid the systems that are designed to protect Americans.
Y'all have a good day, sir.
You too, buddy. We'll see you. All right, listen. And I know, by the way, that somebody else was calling in. We were on one line while you were calling in. So if you were the caller a moment ago, you're welcome to call back. But yeah. So let me move through the last few pieces I've got of this. The costs of mass migration, the costs, they are not just financial. They are societal. They are cultural. They are things like quality of life and, you know, crime and you know, essential services and healthcare services. All those things get stressed. I mean, when they build a hospital in a community, they build it based upon the expected population, and they have the ways of sort of, you know, actuarializing how much they would expect those beds to be filled. When you start seeing things like Eagle Pass, Texas, with a population of roughly 32,000, and then twice the population of the whole town comes across the border in 1 month, imagine what it does to local services like hospitals. How about this? In New York, big, giant, sanctuary city of New York, New York One reports, as of last week, Mayor Eric Adams asking for millions of dollars. Said Adams is proposing the state pick up half the city's migrant costs instead of a third as set out in last year's budget. City Hall wants at least $2.8 billion, billion with a B, from the state to help pay for the migrant crisis. That's $2.8 billion that will not go into education for that state, that will not go into roads and bridges for that state. It's $2.8 billion that's having to go just to help New York City feed and house migrants. Mayor Adams says the state needs to give the Big Apple at least $600 million more thanks to extra funding pressures brought on by the migrants. And here's this amazes me. You remember last week we had in near Times Square we had two cops that were ganged up on and beaten by a group of migrant thugs. He was asked about this, Mayor Adams was, who, by the way, is a former New York NYPD cop himself. He says, if my legal team tells me I have the authority to have cooperation with ICE and Customs Enforcement for those who commit felony dangerous crimes, that's something we would love to entertain and look at. I got news. You do. Just stop being a sanctuary city. You don't need your lawyers to tell you, well, I guess I could coordinate with, you know, federal officials and see if I can, I don't know, find a way forward. What do you think, fellas? Can I do it legally? Yeah, you actually can. And if your city council wants to go, hey, we're a sanctuary city, just look at them and say, go find the new job. Now, I know that sounds easy and I'm being a little flippant, but you can't be the mayor and say, because in the next breath, he was asked by a Republican state senator, do you stand on the policy that New York City should remain a sanctuary city? Yes, I do. Hang on a second. You want to consider whether or not you have the authority to coordinate with ICE when your police are getting beaten in the streets, and you want the state to send you $2.8 billion, but you think you ought to remain a sanctuary city. Because in his words, being a sanctuary city is the origin of all of us. No, it's not. Go study history. For God's sake, how do these people get elected to these positions? He said, all of us came from some level of immigration, but I think those who came here or come here and abuse our good nature, they need to be dealt with on the federal level and deported. Well, that's new. That's a new and different way of approaching it, but nonetheless. And then you've got this. You got the state of New York itself. Governor Kathy Hochul. The state of New York is giving thousands of illegal immigrants with pending asylum applications payments under its Office of Temporary and Disability Assistance. It's called the Safety Net Assistance Program. What does that mean with all the acronyms? It means they're giving them free money. 10% of New York's illegal immigrant population could benefit under the program, but the state is declining to reveal how many. The outlet notes that New York City alone could have over 17,000 migrants receiving taxpayer checks. We're just giving them money now. Just why would they not come here? You're probably giving them the equivalent of like twice their annual salary back home. The outlet notes that, New York Representative Nicole Malliotakis, Republican, says it's horrible that Governor Hochul found another way to attract migrants, and there you go, while putting the squeeze on lower and middle class New Yorkers. And she points out, you got people from all over the world coming to New York to take advantage of all the left-wing programs the governor and the mayor are implementing. They're clobbering taxpayers over the head. Meanwhile, by the way, it just also points out this article that New York City was making plans to distribute $53 million worth of prepaid debit cards to illegal immigrants. And then they wonder why they got them showing up. I mean, Texas is not giving them freebies, all right? They're coming to Texas and they're getting on a bus and they're coming to your city. Why do you think? I mean, if you've got ants in your house, the worst thing you can do is leave more food out on the counter, right? It's not hard to figure out. Well, we're going to have more money, state. State's going to turn around and go, well, we're going to have more money, federal government. How about this? Fix the friggin' border. It's not rocket science. Last story. City of Denver. What are the costs of mass migration? How about a reduction in city services? There you go. Here we have it. Denver Mayor Mike Johnston this past Friday announced a decrease in city services to help offset the costs inflicted by the city's migrant crisis, according to the Washington Examiner. Oh my gosh. He says the reduction includes cuts in the hours of operation for several Department of Motor Vehicle offices, and the city's Parks and Rec services will reduce their spring programming. So kids who have spring basketball league and, after school programs and parks where they can go and, shoot hoops and do things, 25% less. It says community centers will also reduce the number of days they're open from 7 to 6. Oh, so the kids who would go there after school because it's safe to get off the streets, do something because their moms and dads are working or whatever, yep, one of those days is no longer available. Mayor Johnston, a Democrat, said these changes do not involve layoffs for current employees. Well, of course not. They're unionized. So what he's saying is, hey, all right, listen, here's the deal. I'm not going to cut y'all. You're just going to work less. Oh, well, that ain't hard. Yeah, well, it is hard for the people out there who don't get the benefit of what they pay taxes for. But we got to do it. Just take one for the team here, fellas. You'll get an extra day off. Wow. Denver has received more than 40,000 immigrants in the past year, according to Johnston, including 4,000 that still currently remain in the city's care. The city has spent $46 million on the migrant crisis so far. Y'all, I'm telling you. So here's I'm gonna wrap this up. We're about to go to a break, but I'm just going to tell you. We're going to look back on, you know what? We're not even looking back. We're looking at it. But history is going to look back on us and go, what were they thinking? Remember back when the United States... Oh, I hope they never say that. Remember back when the United States used to be? If you look at the, and we talked about it before on the show, if you look at the historical trends and things that occurred that led to the downfall of the Roman Empire, you'll find mass migration being one of them. You'll find an inability to secure their borders and mass migration at the same time being one of the two of the issues that broke down the Roman Empire and caused the fall of Rome. I'm just saying, that's where we are right now. You cannot look at this. There's no way in the world that anybody can look at this and go, well, they just didn't know what was going to happen when they put those policies in place. They've had 3 years to figure it out. 3 years. And the numbers have exponentially increased. And the cost to the communities around this nation, big and small communities, it's too much to ask. I am hearing, by the way, and I'll say this in closing, I am hearing right now that Steve Scalise, Congressman Scalise, is back from his cancer treatments and that we may see the Mayorkas impeachment vote back on the floor very soon. Why they did it the way they did it before, I don't know. All I'm saying is we may see that back soon. If anybody deserves to be impeached besides Joe Biden, it's Alejandro Mayorkas. All right, let's do this. We'll take a break right now. We'll come right back. I got some text messages to catch up on. And then I got one more dipper called the Feeble Admin. Did you see Joe Biden did a video for the Super Bowl? My gosh. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like saving the world, one sound bite at a time. Let me go to the phones real quick. Jeff Rowe from Indiana is on the phone. Jeff Rowe, how you doing, buddy?
Well, I'm just north of Bucky's here and in trying to figure out if I can get past this crash in front of me here.
Oh, no. Well, then, are you heading north or are you still heading south?
It's on the northbound side. There was one as soon as you crossed the Tennessee River, wiped out, and it took a wild ride there.
Wow.
And I've got one in front of me here, too. So it's people need to slow down and figure out that it's raining and it's windy.
Yeah, no doubt, man. And it's not looking like it's going to let up anytime soon either. I mean, if we had a brief period there in the middle of the day where we are in the northeastern part of the state, and then it just came right back. But, wow. All right. Well, what you thinking about?
I'm thinking that we should just start gathering up all the illegal aliens and deporting them back ourselves. I mean, laws don't mean nothing, you know. I mean, Biden, he did all the things he did, and they didn't charge him or didn't, you know. We can just say that we're PO'd, and we're just going to take the law into our own hands and do what we're going to do.
Well, I don't think we have to take the law in our own hands. I think we just have to vote for the right person. But Trump says he's going to have the largest deportation program in history, and I hope he's right. I mean, I don't mind. I said earlier too. I've got family members who came here and are naturalized citizens, but I don't mind legal immigration. But what we're seeing ain't that. What we're seeing right now is just like, you know, bum rushing the border and taking what you want.
I wonder if they need to ask the Supreme Court what would constitute an invasion.
Yeah.
How many people have to come in? You know, are we being invaded or not? I mean, I guess they would have to determine that, wouldn't they?
Well, you know, the governor of Texas, Greg Abbott, he officially declared a state of emergency on the basis that he was declaring it an invasion on the Texas border. So he's already taken – he had his legal team review the documents because, you know, all these words, they have legal meanings behind them. You have to meet certain standards to be allowed to use it. There's a burden of proof involved. And he felt like he had what he needed. He declared an invasion and a state of emergency because of it, and that's why he's out there, you know, fencing up his border.
Yeah, how come it's just like foreign aid or whatever? How come my tax dollars are being used to house illegal aliens and all this stuff? How come they give them any money at all? You know, if they can't work and they can't eat and they can't, you know, find anything, they'll have to go back, won't they?
Well, what's funny is I remember reading just a month or two ago that one of the things that was driving some of them to want to go back was they didn't count on winter. They say it was too cold. They wanted to go home. But I tell you what, I was watching a report this weekend, and Charlene and I were both watching it. And you know what? One of the largest, you know, people talk about Venezuela a lot. You know what one of the largest groups of mass illegal immigrants is right now? Chinese.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, exactly. I wonder how come they're coming here that they never did come before, you know.
I don't know, but the report that I saw, and I think it may have been on Maria Bartiromo on the over the weekend, but said that China won't take them back. If they come to the United States illegally and then they are registered as an illegal Chinese national, China will disavow them, and so basically they have nowhere to go back to. So it's a rub, man, but we're talking about, you know, 30 some odd thousand in recent, you know, history.
You know, you're talking about being cold and everything. How come we're not shipping all these illegals to Alaska?
I'm pretty sure in Alaska they might have something to say about that. They did not declare themselves a sanctuary state.
No, but they got a lot of wide open spaces up there, man. They wouldn't bother nobody out there. It just, you know, it'd be all over the place.
Good luck, fellas. Build an igloo.
Yeah. Hey, how come we're not trying to impeach all the vice president and the cabinet now? Because as far as I know, everybody swore to uphold the Constitution.
Well,
the 25th Amendment, it's part of the Constitution, isn't it? So how come these people are not doing their duty? I mean, and taking Biden out of his place there because he's incompetent.
I don't know, man, but I wish somebody would. Maybe Kamala will one day realize that if she says something like that, she might get to be president for a little while. Hey, brother, we're up against the break. Okay. We're hard up against it, man. But you be safe on the road. It's raining even harder where I am right now, so be careful.
Have a good one, Phil.
All right, buddy. All right, we're going to wind up taking the break here momentarily, and I'm going to get to a bunch of your text messages that have all come streaming in, 833-687-4448. Can I get to dipper number three? I don't know. We'll find out. In the meantime, it's go-home time, and depending upon where you are right now, we got like sideways rain blowing outside the studio windows. Y'all be careful on the roads. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Hey, all you Right Side ruffians out there, you are listening to Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one right here, Alabama. Y'all, I'm talking about this show goes like way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville and Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi. All thrown in just for good measure. Hey, about to tell you who else covers a lot of ground with some good measure. And that's our friends at Southern Immediate Care. Southern Immediate Care, a chain of clinics that covers a huge swath of ground across our overly broad listening area. And folks, I'm just telling you, Southern Immediate Care, with locations like Gadsden, Anniston, Atala, six more locations around the Birmingham area, the newest one being Helena, and more on the way, by the way. I'm just telling you, they're open 7 days a week. 7 days a week. Somebody gets sick on a Saturday. What do you do? Wait till Monday? No. Southern Immediate Care is open. And oh, by the way, they'll see all ages. We're talking like from pediatric all the way up to geriatric is what I say. And let me just tell you, too, this is who I use personally. And I don't say that. I literally am not saying that because they advertise. Not at all. It's just the opposite. I was so pleased with the fact that every time I went over there, I felt like I got great service, clean facilities, friendly staff, all of it, that I asked them would they advertise because I knew I could brag about them. And they said, you know what? Yeah. Well, they're owned by a Right Side ruffian, so there's that. But anyway, Southern Immediate Care. You think about it. If you need medical attention, non-emergency. If you need medical attention, Southern Immediate Care. Find the location nearest to you. Head on down. And while you're filling out your forms, tell them you heard about it on Right Side Radio. I'd appreciate that. All right, let me jump over here. I got Big Rig. We got some text messages, man. They're just piling up. I gotta figure out how to get them all on board here. Do I start with the top or start at the bottom? Holy smokes. I'm going to go down to the ones who have been waiting the longest. Paula from Lacey Springs texted, said, I encourage all Alabamians to financially support the efforts of API, the Policy Institute, on a yearly basis and check their website regularly to be an informed voter or decision maker. Yeah, awesome. So, yeah, if you're not familiar, earlier in the show we talked about the Alabama Policy Institute. Gives you great background information, deep dive information on legislation, things that are pending, conservative principles, all of it. So it's free market, strong families, and all the conservative principles you can stand right there at API, which is alabamapolicy.org. Gary from Decatur says, I wonder what the Fed will do to get their money back after this country defaults from these insane policies. I don't think there's $40 trillion worth of gold in Fort Knox. You'd be surprised how many people don't know the Fed is not government-owned. $431 billion just in illegal migration for the last 2 years. Yep, it's on an epic scale, Gary. Trey from Madison says, maybe we should let the Venezuelans in. They're fleeing socialism, would likely vote Republican. Okay. I'm thinking, nah, let's don't go down that road. We got a brand new texter in the text line. Augusta from Athens. Okay, I see that. We'll go first name only. Augusta from Athens. I tell you what. Oh, yeah. Sheriff Jones of Butler County, Ohio. I did see that, Augusta. And I might do a segment on this. I was talking to Charlene about this weekend. And I'll just mention briefly what she's talking about is, in fact, I watched part of it this morning. Sheriff Jones of Butler County, Ohio, gave a press conference just a few days ago, said that he had just gotten back from a National Sheriff's Association, seminar or conference where they were addressed by Christopher Wray, director of the FBI, who told them that we are in a very dangerous position right now in terms of potential threats to our nation, maybe more so than prior to 9/11. And that there are terrorist and foreign national safe houses in every state in the nation, and I agree. It's an epic thing. So Augusta, thank you for being in the text line. We appreciate you joining in, and I will probably do a segment on that very soon. Keep your heads on a swivel, folks. You see something, say something. William J. from Lexington says, "I heard you say let's do that thing. Very Biden-esque. Could qualify you for the Democratic Party nomination." Well, William, I take issue with your slights against my character by saying such a thing. Let's do that thing is actually not a Democrat statement. In fact, they don't do much. So anyway, there you go. Kenny from Elkmont says, everyone in our country had it bad during the Great Depression. The people of the United States didn't turn around and run to leave. Yeah, and there also wasn't anybody in Mexico and Canada giving them free stuff if they did. So, yeah. Jerry from Decatur says, I agree about the mess we're in concerning our immigrants. Our system is the door to come in to be an American. There's no illegal immigration to heaven. We come through the door. Jesus is the door, just saying, airborne. I see what you're saying, Jerry. So basically you're saying there is a single point of entry is what you're saying to our faith. The same is true or should be true about our nation. There are single points of entry in certain places. And there are. They're called ports of call or ports of entry. And they're abusing the opportunity. Jeff from Indiana, who just called in a minute ago, texted in and said, do the states have a right to distribute foreign aid because they're all foreign nationals? So what would be the difference between giving them money there or here? How about this? Can the UN set up a refugee camp? They do it everywhere else. Then again, do we want the UN setting up a refugee camp in our country? TL from Huntsville sending me a meme. What is it? Oh, no, it's a link to an article.
It's not. The meme is it's the guy that was I was telling you about the stories. And
oh, is it really?
Checking the stories. I'm not sure if you're familiar with the sources.
Okay. So he's sent us some TL sent us some information about what is it about? House Republicans sound the alarm over a report that Venezuela is sending violent. Okay. All right. So that's not just an internet rumor. We got actual news sources saying it. Not that TL's ever led me wrong in the first place. Mm-hmm. I'll say that TL gives me some pretty sharp texts. But yeah. Department of Homeland Security confirms that Venezuela is sending violent criminals to the United States through the southern border, says Troy Nails, a Republican representative from Texas. Oh, my gosh. You know what? I don't doubt it, though. I don't doubt it for a second. Offload what you don't. That's what they did during the Muriel boat lift. Cuba decided to let some people go. Well, at first it was people wanting a freedom, and then it was like, why don't we get rid of the criminals too while we're at it? Put them on a boat, send them over, and they did. They offloaded a lot. John from Huntsville says, Phil, what's going to happen to this country if we eventually end up having a majority population of illegal immigrants and a minority population of legal citizens? Well, I guess we better make sure that you keep a certain stockpile of you know, things at home that you might need. Let's put it that way. Shane from Madison says, one of the Democrat debates where Sleepy Joe, he sent me the link. That's what it was. I see what you're saying. He sent me a link to a debate where Joe Biden had said that we need to surge the border. He tells the migrants to surge the border. Okay, I'll go look at it later if I can. Thanks, Shane. Appreciate you. Man, the text messages, I've got so many of them. Mark from Laredo, which, by the way, is a darn good problem to have. You know it? We got way over 1,000 people in the text lines now. Crazy cool. Mark from Laredo, Tennessee. How come we're not playing any Counting Crows? I don't know. How come we're not playing any Counting Crows? Big Rig, that's your job. What's going on over there?
I'll have to do some reconfiguring, but we can make it happen.
Because we have Counting Crows somewhere in the bumps.
Yeah, there's a Counting Crows song.
I thought there was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At least one of them.
By God. Thanks for calling us out, Mark. Big Rig's on it. Metal Man Josh from Elkmont says, we must have watched the same videos. Poor blacks and whites are really getting mad now. Badger from Athens says, we need term limits, salary caps, and they all need to get insurance like the rest of us. If they have to live like normal Americans, maybe they'll see things as they should, talking about elected officials. I agree with term limits. They are already salary capped, so there's that. They all need to get insurance. Well, a lot of jobs provide insurance, and they're government workers technically, so I don't fault them for having insurance for what they do. Term limits, I'm for it. Scott from Russellville, last text I'll take before I go to the next break. Says, FYI, the Mexican people are pushing shirts that say MAGA. Mexicans always get across. Oh, nice. Oh, okay, listen. I'm just gonna say this is a mess that ain't going away overnight, you know? It's a leadership issue. And oh, by the way, the cost to our society has reached epic levels. Keep your eyes on it, folks. And by the way, it matters who you elect, even at the local level. Think about it. We talk a lot about Biden and Alejandro Mayorkas and all that up in D.C., right? The presidential election takes care of that, right? How about sanctuary cities? They elect people, too, that put laws in place at the local level. City councils matter. Look at it right now. The mayor of Eagle Pass, Texas, believe it or not, is a Democrat, and I am pretty sure he's about through with his own party at this point. But it matters who you elect at the local level. It matters greatly. We saw it during COVID. We're seeing it right now with the responses. When you've got the mayor of Denver saying, we're going to keep in taking these migrants in, but we're going to have to cut your city services, no more parks, and we're going to have to limit the amount of assistance you'll get at the DMV. Well, let me get this straight. You're not going to change your policies, but you're going to cut back what the taxpayers have been getting for years so you can give away something to people who broke the law to get here. And mayor of New York City says, I may consider checking with my legal team to see if I'm allowed to coordinate with ICE in case we have violent felonies being committed by illegals, what I can do about it. Here's what you do about it. Coordinate with ICE. And then the next breath he's asked, do you still want to be a sanctuary city? His response, yes, I do. Unbelievable. The hypocrisy. Give us more money. How about this? Let's make sure we elect the right people at all levels. I don't care if they're running for dog catcher. Are they conservative in principle? Will they stand up for you and do the things the job requires? That's what matters. All right, we're taking a break right now. Big Rig, move us to the last break of the day. Y'all, it is wet out there. Be careful on the roads. We'll come right back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We will be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Making common sense like a superpower. Hey, I tell you what else is apparently superpower. We just got the rankings in, man. Nielsen's. Our sales staff just got these from WVNN up in Huntsville, our Huntsville market. shows that we are, I'm talking about killing it, man. We are wearing it out right now. Big Rig, listen to this. So we are listed as the, we have the highest ranking with most time spent listening. Number one across the board, men ages 35 to 44 on the average. We are the number one listened to thing in our time slot from 2 to 5.
That's awesome.
That is awesome.
Congrats.
Number two overall for all adults. I think there's one music channel that might be. And we're talking about this is not just talk.
Yeah.
This is like radio.
Radio in general.
Yeah. And then and we're number three overall for women in that category. That is those are huge rankings right there.
That is.
That's called market share, brother. All right. So all I'm saying there, though, I mean, I literally just got this by email like during one of the breaks here like a little while ago and just got a chance to open it up. And that's by that's taking across the entire metro survey area for Huntsville for the last quarter of the last year. Whew, that is just good stuff, man. I am stoked. And by the way, all that does is confirm if you want to advertise on Right Side Radio, you're on the right show. Just saying. People are listening, apparently.
It's, yeah.
Got to love that.
That's good. Congrats.
Thanks, man. Well, thank you for being a part of it.
It makes you a little nervous, though, too, at the same time.
Nah, it's all good, man. It's all good. Yeah, thank you very much. By the way, all that is because of y'all. Whew, I'm just saying. I mean, we could sit here and just talk into a can all day long. Ain't nobody listening. It doesn't matter, right? So apparently they're listening. That is so cool. Do we get any new text messages? Nope, we good there? Okay, let me just tell you about a story that broke a little while ago, and I'm going to get the details on it and try to give you more tomorrow. It was up on the screens while we were on air doing another segment. So it just goes straight to my monologue today. My monologue today was on, if you didn't hear it, I just encourage you to go to our podcast and grab it. It was a leadership monologue. It was on decision-making using a technique called the OODA loop, observe, orient, decide, and act. OODA, O-O-D-A, the OODA loop. Well, the OODA loop is something that's been around for a while. It was invented by a fighter pilot. It's taught to people. It's clear, though, that in my opinion, you can be trained to do things like the OODA loop, which Biden, I don't think, has ever had any training on leadership. He's never had to. He's never led an organization. He's never had to cut a paycheck. He's never built a business from scratch. He's never had to forego his own paycheck to make sure his employees got paid. He's never had to deal with any of that kind of stuff. Never paid, you know, business privilege tax that we know of. Well, unless he was one of those Chinese-owned subsidiaries. But all I'm saying is he's never had to go through that kind of training and experience about decision-making. But then the other piece of it I talked about is even when you've had that training, if your capacities are diminished and degraded, then it's a double whammy. Right now, we're looking at both with him. We're looking at somebody who's never had that kind of training, like the OODA loop or anything else about, you know, decision-making under duress and, you know, how to weigh the factors and respond in a timely fashion to the stimuli and then act on it. He's never had to do that. But then on top of that, he is in a degraded position. What little he might have had has been diminished. He just showed it a while ago. The story I'm talking about is the King of Jordan is in town. So King Abdullah of Jordan is in the Washington, D.C. at the White House for a state visit, and the two of them came out and made remarks, and Biden decided it was time to go ahead and tell our ally Israel they need to back off. I kid you not. Israel, who just, 120 days ago, suffered the worst attack that it's had since the Yom Kippur War. On a per capita basis, they lost more than we did on 9/11 per capita. If you look at the population of Israel, when you see the number of people that were killed, and then you compare that to the number of people killed on 9/11, I'm not diminishing 9/11. I'm just saying, on a per capita basis. And it was likely, by the way, you're talking about a nation that is not even as big as Alabama geographically. And yet, they suffer that way. And the people who did it are right next door and will come back again because they say they will. Not because we think they will, because they say they will. That they will do more and more of this given the opportunity. Netanyahu's having none of it. Big Rig and I were talking before the show. Netanyahu is a former special operations guy from the IDF, the Israeli Defense Force. He ain't playing. He's done with it. This will be his retirement, you know, right here. He's not going to be in politics much longer. He's had to deal with his own scandals and things that are happening. But he's a decisive wartime leader. And he is crushing Hamas. They just found a massive tunnel complex underneath the UN relief agency for the West Bank. Are you kidding me with this? It was not like a dirt tunnel. This was like something that was, you know, like a miniature subway platform. I mean, it was unbelievable, the amount of technology down there, servers and battery power and power feeds running to the UN. I mean, basically, we're spending billions through the UN to prop up Hamas, apparently. And Biden is saying it's time to back off. I'm saying no. That's who we got there. John from Huntsville says the grades are in. He says today the official Right Side Radio grades. Big Rig gets a solid A. Phil gets an A+. Stephanie Smith is today's winner with an A++. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, John. Appreciate you. And then Chris from Gadsden says, does your market ranking with women mean you got to do a little more mansplaining? Now you're going to get me in trouble, man. We're trying to celebrate here. All right, listen. You guys have an amazing night. We're back here tomorrow at 2. Big Rig and I both. We will see you then.